yes, 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 yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
I've been getting good at my volume, I think. I haven't been too loud. Brennan's been keeping his headphones on. Welcome to another episode of Hanimation.
Yeah, that was way better.
Yeah, it's way better.
You
right?
did
yeah,
both of them. You did way better on both of those. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm controlling my volume. I'm your host, Keenan Baker, my lovely host, Brennan, here, Mr. Producer Face.
I'm not. Oh, that's not always lovely. I'm not lovely. I'm like cool. I'm fine. I'm with lovely. I'm not that.
What's
like,
great is that Brennan hates compliments. That's what that is.
I'm not lovely. Like, would you? Okay, honestly, would you describe me as lovely, Rob?
You know, maybe it's like a joke.
And okay. How do you know this is not a joke?
Please continue.
It's true.
And my other lovely co-host, Rob. Thank you.
Oh man, it's so nice to be appreciated.
see that good. Right there?
I don't like either one of you. That's really what it comes down to.
All right, you guys, we've been watching Yu Yu Hakusho season one, man. This anime has been very dope. This episode we had to cover a lot because we had to go through episodes, I believe, 13 through 25. So we're going to talk about episodes 13 to 25 on Yu Yu Hakusho, man. And woo! This anime's gotten fire, y'all. What y'all think?
Yeah, it's a lot happened in that stretch. I mean, it was a lot of episodes, but at the same time, a lot of action, a lot of plot, moved very quickly, but I like it.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, exactly. Like, that's what I would say is that that's one of my favorite things about this anime is that I'm remembering is that even for today's standards, this anime moves so fast, progresses so fast. Because we start off with Yusuke being able to shoot one spirit gun a day. And, you know, by the end of season one, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, right. They waste no time on this show, which is great. It's just there's no hyperbolic time chamber or like spaceship on the way to Namek or any of that. It's just like, no, they trained in between episodes. You know?
And that's what I want. That's what you got to do. This show. I don't care to show too much of the training. They did a flashback. And they was like, all right, cool. He did some training with old girl.
Yep.
And then.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that we didn't have
just
to just
give me the Rocky
training.
Montage. Yep. You know, like throw some music behind it. We got it.
But that's also, too, that's that 80s, 90s style. Like they always just give you a quick little montage. You know, like I love this movie, Best of the Best. They used to do that whole montage and music playing with their training. And then, boom, they're ready.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we get it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that. I like how they did a little bit of a montage, but it was only like 30 seconds. Yep. But then even more than that, I like that every time he's progressing, it always comes back to his training, and they do a flashback back to that.
Exactly. That's great.
That works really well
just
for me.
Do it that way.
Yeah. All right, so let's get through these. Let's talk through it, you know? Let's talk through the episode.
Yeah, so we picked right back up with the conclusion of the fight against Rando in the tournament to get Genki's training. And Rando just was... threw off his human form and took on his demon form, which he said he hadn't used on a human, I think, ever.
That was the most... He was the coolest looking, most underwhelming villain I've ever seen.
Yeah, we saw like only five of those 99 techniques, and most of them were pretty lame.
Yeah, pretty garbage.
And he reused them. I'm like, if I had 99 techniques, like, why would I ever reuse a single thing?
Yeah.
That's why he hasn't... I feel like he's never perfect. Like she said, he's never really perfected, I guess, any of them, really. He just... kind of does them.
Yeah, he dabbles, I guess.
Yeah.
He just kind of like sticks a toe in the pool. Every little technique. And what's interesting to me is they thought it was going to be such a big deal if he got his 100th technique. But technically, he does that during the fight because he picks up Yusuke's spirit gun.
Yeah. Right.
Just from watching him.
Yeah.
Is that what he did? I thought he just had it anyway.
No. He says he learns it.
Oh. Yeah.
He's like, oh, what's that stance? He's using my spirit gun against me. It's just like, wow. I think even Genki says, oh, man, like, that's crazy. He just... watched him do it, and he picked up that technique.
There's no reason that Yusuke should have won that fight.
Yeah, yeah. How did he end up winning that again? Like, oh, yeah, because he had the pawn scum.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even his... Like, he didn't win on winning. He won because, like, stuff in his ear.
That's been, like, his whole tournament this whole time. Yusuke's path through this tournament is one giant deus ex machina. If it wasn't the cigarette that Genki threw into the fighting ring, it was the... strangely enormous puddle that was very conveniently placed during his fight against the Nazi monk. And you know, and then in the end, when he's back in one of those impossibly deep puddles that are just basically only show up when they need a pool of fish or for Yusuke to fall into, he gets that wad of pond scum in his ear and he can't hear the shrinking spell that would have ended the whole thing for in Rando's favor.
That's so, right. I like the fact that he wins off luck a lot.
He's a lucky guy. You gotta hand it to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like Kuwabara. Like, Kuwabara doesn't really get lucky.
No.
Like, he earns every inch of every fight that he's in.
Absolutely.
Do you consider Kuwabara the Vegeta of this?
No. Mm.
No.
The TA.
Hiei, probably.
You think
Hiei's
the Vegeta of
this? Because he starts off bad, turns up good, always number two.
I feel like Kuwabara is some sort of combination of Yamcha and Tien, you know? Like, if you had to combine those two characters, I feel
like
you'd
get Yamcha,
something.
I would put Yamcha. Actually, I would have put Tien. No, Yamcha because he's funny.
Yeah.
And Gohan because he's not weak.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like both. Yeah, because Gohan and Tien, I think, like, know they're outclassed a lot.
Yeah.
But they'll always man up and be like, all right, I got to do this. I got to do this fight. Like, yep. I'll take it on, you know?
I feel like Hiei is the strongest, but he's not getting a chance to just shine as number one. But I guess that would be considered like a Vegeta. But I don't think he's weaker than
Yusuke.
I don't think
he lost to him.
He did,
but clearly he didn't. You know, we go through the other episode. You know, he didn't use all his power. Clearly,
maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
At that time, well, yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like he lost. Time, yeah. He didn't intend to lose. Let's put it that way. Yusuke didn't get lucky. You know.
Well, yeah.
Yusuke beat him. Yeah. Like straight
that one
up.
Time, outsmarted him. Actually
yeah.
beat him.
He actually beat him.
Outsmarted him. You're right.
Yeah. So I'm saying it's like he's number two.
The one time Yusuke didn't get lucky, other than the time he got hit by the car, but that's neither here nor there.
Hilarious.
You know.
So then up next after that fight concludes.
Yeah. They basically go right to a 2 months later after Yusuke luckily beats Rando.
Yep.
And they're just like, let's just skip all that training. He hung out with Genkyu for a while, got some new magic powers, you know, really leveled up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual
powers.
Yep. Oh, yeah. There we go. And he's hanging out with Kuwabara. He and the three of them, he and Kiko, are going to go all to a movie together.
Yep.
And Kuwabara's leveled up a little bit, too. He talks about, like, oh, he's improved his spirit sword a little bit, which we get some doses of that later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then this is the part I like. Botan shows up and is like, you got a new mission. Bye. So they ditch her.
They ditch her.
My favorite thing is that she's like, this is our communication device. And it's literally a flip phone that does FaceTime.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking about that. Like, this
ahead of the game.
Pre-cell phone, really, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, this is pre-cell phones, and she gave him a flip. Like, it looked like a makeup mirror.
Yeah.
Flip makeup mirror that also does FaceTime across dimensions, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have that technology to this day.
Not quite.
We're almost there.
Almost.
We had it with the two-way, and then the two-way got lost somewhere. And then,
Yeah, so they leave, they head off, and that's where one of my funniest things happens to me.
Yeah.
Is in the rest of the season is the Kuwabara Goku reference. Like, what are you, Son Goku? Like, what was that again? How did that happen?
Yeah, so Botan is just like, hey, like, these four demon lords are attacking the Earth realm. They want to take over humanity. Mm-hmm. They're sending out all these bugs or whatever that are taking over the people with shady souls and turning them into these zombie creatures.
Yeah.
And Botan's like, all right, you got to go to the demon world. And Kuwabara's just like, all right. Like, I'm in.
Yep.
He jumps in first. Yep. Yusuke's close behind because he wants to get... No, the fighting tickets was for the Genki tournament, which he doesn't end up getting to go to anyway.
Never even mentioned it again.
Anyway. So they jump into the demon world, and then Hiei and Kurama show up soon after them, just like, hey, you know, we basically got a plea deal, like, for that whole, like,
this
you know,
community,
heist that
this
we...
This is our community
this
service.
This is basically their community service hours helping Kuwabara and Yusuke,
not
you
die.
Know, not die.
Yeah.
So they, the four of them all go into the castle while Botan and Kiko are fighting the bug people.
Just Botan.
Oh, yeah, at that point, it's just Botan.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just Botan, and then they did the Gate of Trial. What is it called?
The Gate of Betrayal.
The Gate of Betrayal.
Yeah.
I actually thought the concept of that was really cool.
It was. Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat.
Kenan, tell us how the Gate of Betrayal happened. You don't remember?
I don't remember.
All right, so the Gate of Betrayal was they walked into a room, and there's this like little eye thing that has wings on the side of its
right,
head.
Right, and it comes down on them. Actually, I got a question about that for you guys. About all that stuff.
Hold on, let me
go, okay. Go into it.
So the little eye thing starts like, hey, welcome to the castle. And then he pulls a lever, and then like the ceiling falls down on them pretty much, and then they hold it up. And the ceiling is sensitive to their spiritual pressure and strength and says it is just heavy enough that all of you can hold it up. But if the only way any of you can survive is one of you lets go and then runs out, and then the rest of you will be crushed.
Right.
Was the concept. Mm. Do you want to say what happened, or do you want to say what your question
was?
All right, so because of that, like, they're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? Yusuke is like, well, now that I'm all super powerful from all the training I've done.
Level up.
I'm going to increase my spiritual pressure and be able to hold up the power of two. Hiei, you're the fastest. Get over there. Pull that lever. We got this. Hiei's like, got you. They have some trust issues, whatever. He is, you know, still somewhat bad, apparently. Mm. He makes it across, gets over there, thinks about it. And then
I even came in with that like Last Temptation of Christ thing, like, yeah. You know, hey, you can join us, join me, and we can rule the human realm as the fifth demon or whatever. And
let them die.
And he gets a whole like face full of sword for that.
Yes.
Yeah, which I loved.
Yeah. Hiei was like, well, I think Hiei was smart because Hiei realized if he pulled that lever, something was going to happen.
Mm. Right.
Not good. So he's like, first thing I'm going to do is slash the mess out of this stupid eye. So he slashes the crap out of the eye and almost kills it. And then he pulls the lever, and then like a big rock falls on him, but he just avoids it because he's super fast.
Yeah, man, how did that thing survive that? It's like he got his whole eye slashed, and he is only eye.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. How it was like, how do you fly away after that? Like, if I got slashed in a single eye, and I happen to have wings, I will be down for the count.
When an eyelash gets in my eyes, a wrap.
Yeah.
Like, dude, where are you going?
I'm down for the count, bro. Like, it's just like, oh, well, you know, you win this fight, bro. Good job. You know, I'm going to lay down and die.
Yeah. All right, commercial break. Keenan. What were those questions?
Okay, so a few things I wanted to say. I felt like during this little portion right here, I felt like Hiei was definitely Brennan.
Yes.
When it came to just a lot of trash talking and pissing like Kuwabara off. Like,
yeah.
Just like a lot of, and that's the way we kind of like, it reminded me of Brownsville. This is like Brennan to me.
Just for the record, Hiei is his favorite character.
And he ends up being my favorite character.
Yeah, just come on.
So,
put it out there.
But, but yeah, I was when I seen that, I'm a fan of trash talk anyway, so it didn't bother me. But I was going to say, you know, in this particular thing, besides, I think it's Kurama.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's already cool with pretty much, you know, Yusuke and Kuwabara.
Yeah.
But Hiei, they're not really cool with. Could you work with somebody that you're not, like, that you don't have a good relationship with, or that you're not that cool with, or you just,
I've had to do it so many times, so yes.
Even if it's somebody that you physically had to fight and that wanted to kill you, and then now it's like, y'all got to work together, and then after this, he might still kill you because...
I mean, if I had to, yeah, whatever.
He kidnapped your lady, held her hostage, almost turned her into a demon.
And then I beat his ass.
And then it's like, all right, we're cool.
I beat your ass. Like, I beat your ass, you know your place, step out of line again, guess what will happen again. You know, for me, it's just like, especially in that situation, I whooped your ass already. So
you're confident.
I would watch my back.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
Definitely watch my back. Right, but at the same time, it's like, we already settled this with our fists. Mm-hmm. I feel complete. You know what I'm saying? I feel complete with you.
Yeah, Yusuke is very nonchalant about the whole thing in general.
I feel like he really didn't care. He was just like, look, bro, like, I think you're dope anyways. And I feel like Hiei was kind of just like, well, I got to get my revenge. And he kind of was just like, well, I already trust you now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've definitely worked with people I've had issues with, but for the most part, I'm just like, unless it's, you know, job related, like, we're not talking. You know what I mean?
I think that Yusuke's, if one of the things we talked about before we got on the podcast was the evolution of Hiei and how it happens so ridiculously fast and doesn't make any sense, that he went from horribly bad guy, demon, yokai of death to ally of humanity in like 3 episodes. But part of that, if I had to attribute anything, probably was because of how powerful Yusuke is, how powerful Yusuke's will is, and how much respect he always gave Hiei.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
There's always a lot of respect. It's like every time anything's like, he always just references Hiei. He's like, yo, you're the fastest. Can you do this? You're this, you're that. And, you know, it's just like, even when he's fighting other people, he's like, when he fought the bat guy, when they were going to go do the test to get his training, and the bat guy in the forest, remember the jungle?
Right. Yeah.
That guy was like, oh, I'm so fast, you can't see me. And then he's like, you are nothing compared to Hiei.
Yeah.
Right. And lit him up. So I think that would, if I had to give any kind of attribute, is that he gives that respect to Hiei, even though he beat him.
Ego stroke, definitely.
True. Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, he had no reason to trust Hiei.
None.
And,
zero.
You know, but he gave him the trust anyway, and I think maybe Hiei recognized that and was just like, I mean, shit, you don't know what his upbringing is. We get a little bit of a taste of that later on, and you can tell it's a little, you know, fucked up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's distance between him and his sister, obviously. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe he never was trusted before. Nobody gave him the opportunity. He's just like, all right, this guy... I don't know, I'm getting, his heart grew 3 sizes that day or something, and he decided not to let them get crushed by the gate of betrayal.
I think that's one of probably actually Yusuke's biggest attributes, is that he trusts people, or he knows how to pick people to trust.
Yeah.
And be cool with, and even sacrifices like his life for.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I mean, me personally, I could definitely
you think
work.
So?
Yeah, I can work with people that I don't get along. I have.
There you go.
I mean, I work with Keenan every time I do this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with Brennan like that. My things all comes from jokes with Brennan. But, you know, yeah, but I can work with somebody if I had to. Like, my thing is just don't disrespect me at that point.
Yeah.
you know, I won't disrespect you, don't disrespect me. We'll be cordial. We can be cordial.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. So, moving on with the story. Mm-hmm. I know what happens next is that we get... So, Botan pretty much says you got to go to the beast realm or the spirit realm.
Right.
And fight these four beasts. Like, the four... What are they called? The four...
The four holy demons or something
like
that?
Yeah, the four holy demons.
Yeah.
You know, those phrases oppose each other. You know, yeah, holy demons,
right? So I will say that I actually was a fan of all four of the demons.
Really,
they were all kind of cool in their own way. Yeah. I mean,
I thought they all did their thing. Yeah, all but one.
Are you, the first one?
No.
Oh yeah, no. I know exactly who you're talking about. That dude.
I want to see you talking about.
We'll get there.
So,
there was the first demon, which was the rock guy,
right?
Which, you know, kind of reminded me of that dude from Neverending Story a little bit. You know, the rock eater guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he could come up out of the. He was just like, I'll be the first one to fight these guys. I'll take on all four. Karama was the one that stepped forward. This guy could, like, you know, phase through rock or whatever. He could, you know, go through the ground and kind of pop up in different places.
Yeah, I mean, if I was to put it, it's like he had a room that he was almost invincible in, if you couldn't figure out who he is. That room was the same rock that he is.
Right.
So he could just, you know, mold into that rock and become out of any part of the room and attack you.
Right.
He also could break his body down and, like, throw it at you like a bunch of rocks, I guess.
Right, yeah.
He's pretty dangerous. I feel like...
Definitely.
Yeah, I feel like it showed off how powerful Kurama really is and how good of a fighter he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a fan of him pulling out the vine. I think that was still the rose.
It was a little Sailor Moon.
Yeah, it was very Sailor Moon-esque. Yeah.
I bet you wouldn't want him to pull out on you, though.
No, that's true.
That's true. But if I would have seen that at the gap, but he pulling out a rose, I'm about to whoop his ass.
But like every thorn's made out of adamantium or some kind of crazy
material.
That's
what it seemed like.
Know?
He hasn't been able... There has not been a single thing that whip has touched in this show that has not been destroyed by it.
Yeah, cut through that rock like butter.
Yeah, cut through everything.
Didn't end up being a problem at first for the rock guy because he just like reformed immediately. He got cut up into pieces and they were like, all right, next, let's move on. And he, you know, got the laugh from the darkness and he reformed and took him back on.
Yeah, long story short, Kurama figures out there's a keystone to the guy.
Yep.
Grabs a keystone, breaks the keystone. Fight's over. So that's the first one. But it was a good fight.
It was a good fight. Kurama did take a mortal wound, but he was wounded the rest of the time.
Yeah, because he had to take a hit to grab the keystone because that's the most guarded stone. So, you know, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it was just funny, though. I thought it was really funny. He's like, he went to go grab it. He got it. And the dude was like, I'm going to whoop you. You can't do anything. It's like, your head is where your dick goes, bro.
Which is
mad silly, but it was.
It was great. He's like, what's going on? And he's just like, you looking for this thing? Oh, no, don't do anything for that. Like, he's like, dead.
Kuwabara was like, oh, you got some big balls, dude, or something like that. I was like,
Kuwabara's great.
He goes in. That was the first demon they went up against. The second one
went hard.
Yeah.
He got a few episodes. I mean, he deserved it.
He
had several stages, and Kuwabara was the next one up.
Yes.
And he was just like, I'll take him on, and this guy, you know, sort of laughed at him and just threw his hair at him at first, which ended up being some hellhounds or whatever.
Yeah. He literally picked hair off his back. It was like, and threw them. For me, if like, pick more hair off your back, bro, throw 100 of them at him. Like,
yeah, true.
That would have been ball game.
I was thinking that the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he picks them off, and then Kuwabara does the, like you were saying, Rob, the human centipede.
Yeah,
those.
He human centipedes up those those fucking hellhounds. But, you know, we also get to see a little bit of Kuwabara's level up there. Now he can make the sword without the piece of wood.
Yeah. Yep.
He can, you know, shorten it, extend it, which I don't know why you'd want to shorten it, to be honest. Like, once he
controls the length of it. Let's call it that.
Let's just call it that. Sure. Because I guess if you get it super long, you want to be able to bring it back.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
So he human centipedes the hellhounds. Yep. And then they start chasing him around, but then he hooks him up like he gives him the Gotenks treatment, the like super donut thing around the tower and like links them all up so they're just stuck.
Yep.
And then that's
it's just funny
the last
to me that he put
guys.
His energy sword through the middle of their bodies and they survived it. I'm like,
That's
pretty impressive.
That should have been the end of it.
It really should have been.
Yeah. So then what I really liked is that this was like, I think that Dragon Ball Super actually paid homage to this in the pre-terminal power when Goku fought the big wolf.
Yeah.
Remember? Like Goku like turned Super Saiyan and kept hitting him with blasts and stuff like that. And he kept getting bigger
and
stronger.
Oh, yeah.
So the cat did the same thing.
And this is the part where Kuwabara was just like, who are you, Son Goku? Because that Byakko guy jumps down and starts like powering up.
And it shakes the ground. Yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, who are you, Son Goku?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Kuwabara always has the one-liners that kill me.
Yeah, he's funny.
But yeah, so Kuwabara starts fighting this guy and he's like, it looks like Kuwabara's winning. Like, he's lighting the dude up. He's slashing him up and all this kind of stuff. And then just like, wait a minute. He's grown and gotten stronger.
Yeah, he's not taking any of that damage.
And so Kuwabara decides to just give him all the energy. He was just like, you get all of it, and literally shoved just his sword down his throat.
Yep.
Because he realized that the guy was probably at his limit because he wasn't growing anymore, and he kept talking about how full he was.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. Dude popped. Just about.
This is the toughest character in the show thus far.
Because
what happens?
He comes back.
Yeah.
They get locked up in his room somehow, and he's just like, ha, 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 this is my plan all along for you to come to my lava room.
That lava room was lit, though, wasn't
it? Crazy.
Like, they walked in there, and Kubara tore it off a little tiny piece of his shirt and dropped it, and it disintegrated before he even got to the lava.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
I had another question in this, right?
What you got?
So, in watching this, and I know for the anime, this makes sense just for, like, watching it because it's fun. But during all this, are you letting your guys go one-on-one? Or are you helping out? Because every time I'm watching this, I'm like, yo, if they just tag team these fools, this shit is over. Mm-hmm. Quickly. Would you, if it's you, would you just be like, all right.
Depends on who you're fighting. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, the rock guy in the first room, he could have done damage to all four of them.
Right.
At the same time. With all those rocks that he had across the room. He could have hurt all of them at the same time. He could have put damage on everybody before they even figured out that there was a keystone.
Right.
So for the first guy, it wouldn't have made sense. For the cat dude, he would have got lit up, I think.
They would have been able to give him a lot of spirit much faster. He would have filled up a lot faster.
But I think that it would have wasted. I think they did it right because, you know, everybody has a certain limit of spiritual power outside of the next person we're going to talk about besides Kuwabara. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. But I don't feel like I saw any moments where I would have had to step in as like the person helping yet because, you know, if you're part of Yusuke's crew at this point, you already realized this is how we fight. Like, we fight from the ground pretty much.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. This next part that comes up with Byakko, it might have been a good time for them to team up against him because, I mean, he's like, what is it, super tiger breath or whatever?
Okay, So this is crazy. He levels up and he starts doing that green tiger breath that literally disintegrates just
whatever
everything,
it touches.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, why didn't you just shoot everybody with that from the beginning? Okay, either way.
Yeah.
He starts destroying all the platforms.
That's the time for the mad rush. I say that's the time you send all four guys in all directions because he can't blast all the platforms at once. Somebody's going to get there before and finish it.
I'll say even before that, he could have just threw more hair out and then those monsters could have been fighting all of them at once.
True.
And then he could have just went out and started attacking one by one.
Put
who
some
was
of
the
those
weakest.
On the platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Well, I'm just saying that dude was powerful.
He was dope. He's one of the doper villains I've seen.
Honestly, he's probably my favorite villain that we see in the entire first season.
Yeah, because... You know, Kuwabara rallies and, like, basically suicide charges this dude, and he gets a little lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Byakko falls into the lava. Spoiler, he still doesn't die.
He still doesn't die.
He's still alive.
Falls into the lava after Kuwabara uses his sword as a, what's it called?
It was
a
pole vault.
Yeah, he uses his sword as a pole vault to get up to him, which is great. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, does he kick him off it?
Yeah, it's like he like, knocks him off the platform, and, like, they're both falling in, and then Kuwabara gets lucky, and he gets his, like, belt tied up in like a crack over there.
Right.
And everybody kind of is just like, all right, ha ha ha, like, we'll let you up.
Yep.
So let him up.
And then next up,
yes,
we go into this room and the savagery. First of all, the most savage moment of this entire show happens in the next room.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, because we see this blue dragon guy who looks, I think, pretty badass. Like, if you're going to call yourself the blue dragon.
Oh, wait,
or
hold
whatever.
On a second. I'm so sorry. Before we get there, I took some notes.
What's up?
Right after the fight with Kuwabara, Botan calls.
Oh, yeah.
To just update. She just random update. Doesn't matter what she called about. What bothered me about the phone call was that every single time Botan calls the phone, the one-way phone they have, she's like, hey, Yusuke, it's Botan. You know, your friend Botan. Like, she introduces herself every single time.
Nobody else has this number. Yeah. I know it's you.
He's just like, as if he doesn't know who it is. So I just thought that
was hilarious.
Wild. And also, Kuwabara would have 100% died if what's his name? The cat
Byakko.
Byakko. If he wouldn't have said the name of the green breath attack before he shot it, Kuwabara's dead.
Yeah.
And the only reason that he wouldn't have died is because if he wouldn't have said the name of it, then Kurama wouldn't have told him to dodge it.
Yeah.
True.
So he wouldn't have dodged it. So he would have tried to hit it with his sword, and he would have been dead.
Yeah.
So first of all, another villain giving away his power before he does anything. So he would have been dead. And the one other thing that I didn't understand at the end of that is, how the fuck did Yusuke, Kurama, and Hiei get from the side they were waiting on while Kuwabara was fighting on the platforms over to where Kuwabara was to get him off that platform. All the other platforms were destroyed.
Well, no, because they do that like wide shot, and it shows that there's still like some stuff around the side. It looks like there's a circle, and that like Kuwabara is like in the middle of it, and he's got nowhere that he could like possibly jump to.
All right,
other than towards Byakko.
That makes more sense, because I was just like, what?
Yeah, no, I got you. There was definitely some platforms left over, but much fewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But let's get to the Iceman.
So then we get to the Iceman, the Blue Dragon.
The prelude to that is that the Blue Dragon is standing next to the main guy.
Yeah.
And like after two beasts got killed.
Right.
Two of them are dead. Two of the four of us are dead.
Yep.
From the same people. They're both like, all right, let's send one of us again. And I'm like, really? Like, y'all ain't learned? Like, well, these guys were cannon fodder. Like, nah, bruh. Like, my man, like, both those dudes were tough. Like, yeah. I don't care. I honestly would say the cat probably could beat the ice guy.
According to the ice guy.
Apparently, happened.
He was a big shit talker until, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
So they're facing off. They're squaring up with this ice guy. Hiei is just like, I got this one. So he steps forward. Meanwhile, Byakko shows back up again.
This is the most savage shit. This might be the most savage thing I've ever seen in any anime.
Very persistent.
And he's just like, hey, Ice Dragon Man, help me out. Like, we're buddies. I just need a little bit of energy. They could even team up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
That would have been it.
And like, if he got a little bit, I mean, they barely beat Byakko. Well, Kuwabara barely beat Byakko. I mean, he's not fighting anymore.
No.
Kurama's already wounded.
Yep. Yeah.
He's just like, maybe the two of us can take on the other two of these guys, but Blue Dragon wasn't having that.
Please, can I describe this?
Yeah,
because
go for
how
it.
Savage it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
My man, he's just like, hey, come and help me. Like, help me. And he's walking towards him with his arms out, like, we're brothers, help me. And then he's like, gets into his fighting stance. He's like, what? No, not that stance. What are you? And then he freezes my man and then kicks his head off his body.
Yeah.
Like, straight sub-zero status, like, fatality.
Loved it. I loved it, too.
And then so I was like, all right, that was brutal enough. And I was like, okay, that would have been savage. That would have been enough. But after that, he spits on his head and makes him cry.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
His headless.
Yeah. He spit on his head.
I think that was karma.
But
it was karma because if you remember during his fight after they beat the first guy, he's kind of like, yo, like, you know, he was weak anyways.
True. Yeah, there's
so it doesn't matter. He was weak, so now he's getting that taste of his own medicine. You're weak. You're
no
trash.
No love lost between any of these guys.
None of these guys.
He spit on his decapitated head.
Even Yusuke and his buddies were just like, shit, I feel bad for this dude. And they just almost watched one of their friends get murdered.
Yeah,
Hiei
covered it with his jacket. He's like, I don't want
to
see this.
You gotta understand, you gotta learn what spitting is. Spitting is so disrespectful that when you even spit next to somebody, it's considered disrespectful.
Yeah.
So to spit on somebody's headless
decapitated
face.
Head, like the last few seconds of life, what did you experience? Oh, the person who killed me spit on my face.
Oh man.
Tear from my comrade.
Ugh.
So then after that, first of all, holy crap, disrespectful. And then the fight with between Hiei and the ice guy happens. Dragon dude, bruh,
Hiei
has not been tested in
no.
the show
has, at all.
It bruh. Wasn't even close.
Hiei destroyed him. Like, wow. I loved it. Like, Hiei, like, he said, what, he cut him 16 times?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he let the ice guy get a few hits in at first, like, let him get his hopes up.
Yep.
You know, oh, yeah, I got him a few times. Ha, ha, ha. You're not going to be able to move that fast. And he's just like, nah, dude,
I'm not even
worried about this.
Yeah, he literally thaws his arm and his leg at the same time without even thinking about it.
He flexed and busted out of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, nah, boom, it's gone. Like, I'm totally fine.
I mean, he lit him like, oh, man.
And then cut him up 16 times. Nobody else even saw it except Yusuke, who could only count 15.
Yep.
No, I don't think he counted 15. I think he said 7 or 8.
No, he said 15.
Did he say 15?
Yeah, he's like, I only counted 15. You know, Kuwabara and Kurama was like, I just saw, Kurama's like,
I saw the beginning, and then that was pretty much the end of it.
Yeah, just about. And that was it for that guy. It was a wrap. He didn't even get like a whole episode, I don't think.
No.
Oh, well, okay, let me just cut back real quick. The reason why I said 7 or 8, because I'm watching the dub version. On the dub version, he says, I only seen 7 or 8. And that's the and that
they nerfed him.
Yeah. So on you guys' version, he says, I seen almost all of
you
them.
You mean the actual original version?
The original version. Yes.
Yeah, the version that was meant to be with the actual original voice
I
actors.
I jumped to the dub.
Those writers wanted you to know that Kuwabara's butthole tingled when when Yusuke was telling him all about the Demon Realm, which was definitely in the translation that I watched.
Hilarious.
So I don't know.
It was definitely in my translation. See, for me, so it's a quick sidebar.
Yeah.
I can't believe you watched the dubbed version, because Well, number one, like the biggest difference for me between a sub and a dub, I've obviously watched some dubs too, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously that's how I got into anime in the first place, right. was dub. But for me, it's like you have to realize is that how things are made. So when they make these shows, mm-hmm. They normally record the voices before they do the animation, right? So they record the voices before they do the animation. So they do the animations to the voices. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about that. Number two, the director of the show is there with them recording the voices. So the voices are the heartbeat of the whole show.
I get it. Yeah.
And then you go watch a dub. The director isn't there. You're not going to ever be able to have the same energy, the same anything that was like that. And you're now doing it in the reverse order of what it normally was supposed to be. So it's not even close to the same feeling for me when I'm watching it. So like when you watch, even like if you go back and watch like Dragon Ball Z and watch the sub version with like the Japanese voices and then watch the same episode in dub, it's a whole different vibe.
Well, I said we talked about this on the sub and dub version when we did it. I don't know if you were here for that episode.
I wasn't.
Some subs and dubs match well to me. Dragon Ball is one of them. I'm more of a fan of the sub version. I love
the dub version.
I love the Japanese version of Dragon Ball more than the English version.
Right.
That's just me personally. But in this particular version, I think the dubs goes fairly well or almost equal to the sub version. Mm-hmm. The voices are great. The emotion back there is great. We literally
just proved that wrong with you not knowing how many times.
Well, I mean, some wording is different.
That's very important. Like half of the slashes, like
that's true. But I'm saying voice wise and the emotion, like Kuwabara's emotion in the English version is amazing. Yeah. Like when you watch the English version of his voice, and I think the voice of him is who plays Piccolo and Vegeta.
Yeah.
It makes his voice is dope. So, I mean, besides that, the butthole tingling and...
you didn't get the butthole tingling? You didn't say the butthole tingling?
He didn't say butthole tingling.
So they nerfed it. Like Rob was saying, they nerfed it. So even so, even if you have the same feeling, you don't have the same content. So either way, you're missing out.
I don't know. Because with the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, I'm watching the dub because it's like, sometimes I got to fold laundry and I'm not trying to... I can't...
No, so I get that. Know? I get that. But I'm just saying, like, all I'm saying is, like, I'm not saying that the dub shouldn't exist. I'm not saying that. Mm. All I'm saying is that the sub is better, like, objectively.
No, usually. Yeah, I think that is the case.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. My thing was, too, is that normally I'm multitasking. So I can at least step away from the screen and hear what's going on. If I got to pop my head back over, I know. When it comes to the Japanese voices, I have to just go off, like, you know, reflection, like inflection of the voice. It was getting louder or more, you know, serious, and I can jump back over. You know what I'm saying?
Transition to the final boss.
So after the ice dragon got beat up.
Man, he got lit.
Yep. They get to the final tower, and they're like, all right, this is the boss's castle or whatever. I don't even think they saw the main guy first when all these zombie, like seaweed zombies started pouring out, and they're like, oh, what the hell are these?
Seaweed zombies.
So, because what's his face? The final boss, Suzaku, he's talking with his pet parrot, who I don't even know if we got her name.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, yeah, we can use all those, you know, hollow men or whatever they're called to attack. And we've been saving them up for just such an occasion. Mm. And he sends them all out to, like, try to overwhelm all the guys. And they're like, all right,
they were just supposed to buy time so that...
Right.
So that he could complete taking over the...
No, so he can kill the girl.
Oh, yeah. Kiko?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Because the big part, there's only two plot elements that the bird really plays. Number one, she went to the human world and met and found out about Keiko. She brought the energy. Mm. She brought that information to the bad guy, which is a big deal. He's like, this is the weakness of Yusuke, this girl, which is the truth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also the strength. They didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But this is his weakness. So kill her and you'll kill him pretty much. So he's like, all right, cool. I'm going to do that. He starts playing his flute. Everybody can hear it. And then they're like, oh, man, they already defeated the ice guy. That was quick. All right, well, we got to delay him because she ain't dead yet. Like, right. I just started playing this flute. So, like, they played the flute. And then he was just like, all right, cool. Send out the green seaweed men.
Right.
And there's too many of them. They're weak as than a mug.
Yeah, I don't think they got one punch in.
They're worthless.
They just shambled forward and got cut down. That's
pretty
about
much
it.
Shambled forward. Yeah. But yes, they come out and then they're like, oh, there's too many. How do we do this? They get Yusuke up into the window.
Yep. They give him the piggyback ride, the lift.
So this is another favorite part of the show for me is Yusuke comes into there. And what does my man do? What does the boss do when he sees Yusuke? He's sitting on his throne. He gets up and then plays the song of his girlfriend's death in his face.
Yep.
That's what he does. He proceeds to play the song. He's like, oh, you don't know what the song is? Look at the screen. This is the song I'm playing so that she dies. Welcome to my castle, bitch. And I was just like, ooh,
very gangster, yes.
That guy came in hot, and he stayed hot. He had like some sort of like I don't know. I've seen like a lot of girls with this haircut in like the early 2000s, I feel like. Yeah. With like the dyed tips, you know, the bangs and the blowout
the
in the
antennas,
back.
The antennas, though.
Yeah. Which we find out are antennas later on, which is a little bit weird. And he like dipped them in candle wax or something like that.
That's what it looks like. So they're strong as diamonds. Like, yeah, okay. That's just the thing everybody says in this show.
I guess so. But he and Yusuke start throwing down.
Yeah.
Yusuke starts throwing down at him.
Yeah.
And he blocks all of Yusuke's punches with one hand while holding the flute.
Yep. He's just like, I can do this one-handed. I don't need both hands. I got to hang on to this flute.
You don't even got to hold my beer, bro. I got it.
But then Yusuke starts turning up and is just like showing him his speed. He's just like, oh, shit, this guy's actually pretty fast.
Yep.
You know, he might be a problem. Mm-hmm. And then he starts unleashing some of these electricity attacks down on Yusuke, right?
That was fire. So how that happened, though, is Yusuke shot him with the spear gun when he went up in the air.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He just
Dragon Ball Z'd it and like took that blast and just punched it up into the ceiling, which was incredible.
Yeah.
Because the blast was the biggest blast we've seen from Yusuke thus far.
Right.
So he blasts that up into the ceiling, opens the ceiling. The open ceiling, he's like, wow, this is convenient. First of all, if your power is lightning from the sky, why wouldn't you have an open space in the place that you live?
From the get-go.
Get a sunroof.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, yo, press a button and it opens up or some shit. Like, you got that flute, you got that stupid bird. Like, you could do that. But either way, I thought he was one of the most badass bosses, too, because he literally reaches his hand into the sky. Lightning falls from the sky to his hand, energizes him, and then he lights yo ass up.
Yeah. He hits Yusuke a bunch of times, and he's just like, I'm impressed, because any normal man would have been fried.
Dead man.
I would have been dead.
Yeah. Anybody would be.
Yeah, I would have been dead.
But Yusuke is a spear detective, so, you know, he's got a little bit more fortitude than the average bear.
And a middle schooler at that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's not forget that these 14, are middle schoolers.
15-year-old, you know, MMA master fighter or whatever.
Can take lightning, too. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, spear lightning detective. To the face.
So they start going back and forth, and Yusuke, at that point, how did he spear punches the guy? Because he puts him back on the ropes for a minute there. And
so this
like,
is the part. So, pretty much he shoots Yusuke the lightning. And Yusuke's like, oh, crap, what do I do? He takes off his shoes, puts them on his hands. And he's like, I'm going to block the electricity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that I actually remembered from watching it. Because this is the first, like I was telling Rob earlier, this is the first anime I actually ever binged, ever. So way back when, like I was like probably 14 or 15. I was Yusuke's age watching this. He put him on there and the bird was laughing at him because it's like, that's not going to stop the electricity.
Man, I hated that bird.
Yeah, the bird was very annoying. So he did it. He put him on his hands. And then he ended up putting his spirit energy behind the shoes, blocking the electricity. So he didn't die the second time he got shocked from it, which was pretty cool. But then he punched the dude with that same energy in his hands, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that dude was like, you know what? Not only am I, you know, Zapdos, I also am TN. Yeah. And he splits himself into seven parts.
Yeah, but like with the TN technique, they all get a fraction of his power. But with this, it seemed like they were all just as powerful as the original guy,
which is
crazy.
When he split, I was like, oh, each one of them has to be weak. But then
all of them were like, strong, chilling.
It's like, no, each one of these is totally independent, has my will, my full strength. Like, there's not one of these, like, they are all me.
Yeah.
We are all us, you know? And he goes at Yusuke pretty hard after that and hits him with, like, the multi-attack, you know?
Yeah, with the Thunderbone arrow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so then he actually gets the edge up on Yusuke and, you know, ties him up and is like holding him and like has
electrocuting the crap out of him. Yeah, watch your girlfriend die kind of thing.
Gives him the whole like villain speech of just like, now you're going to watch, you know, the people you care about die. Ha ha ha. And like plays the flute some more. And the zombie people are coming in hard at Keiko and Botan.
Yep.
And, you know, Yusuke's worried about him. We get a little bit of a flashback to his training days with Genkai.
Yeah.
And she's just like, it's only when you reach, like, the limit of your potential that you can start to exceed it. And, you know, kind of gives him the whole, you know, thing we see also in Dragon Ball. Just like, they have
just
to return from
just be
the point of destruction.
Yeah, just be a Saiyan. Almost die, but don't. You'll be more powerful.
Push past your limits.
Pretty much. And so Yusuke does exactly that. And he plus ultras up. And, you know, basically it's like a radial tank. He like screams and it just like bursts out from there, knocks them all back, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And like eliminates a couple of them, I think. Doesn't he take out two of them from there?
Yeah, he takes two of them, the two that were holding him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Takes them out immediately.
Yep.
And also Keiko and Botan like get the jump on the zombie, so they're fine.
Yep.
They're on the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so then Yusuke knocks out those two. And then he's just like, what? And then he does a shotgun, the spirit shotgun.
Which is his new level up technique. He can do the spirit gun and hit several people at once.
Which is crazy. He just holds his fist forward instead of his finger.
Yeah. No accuracy, really, but it just shoots.
Yeah.
You know, you just hope it hits.
Yo, pretty much.
He lights it. That's a powerful attack.
And he takes out another four after that, right? Or he takes out another
five. So it's like all of them but the one, the main one, are gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then what he does is, like, then he's beat up, and he's like, oh, crap, what do I do? He's like, oh, I just can call all the energy from these guys back to me, kill myself, and then split again.
Pretty
and
much.
I was like, this dude.
He comes right back.
Beast.
Yep.
Absolute beast.
Yeah, because Yusuke almost gets to the flute, and, like, the bird gets there, and he's, like, bluffing that he has some energy left. He doesn't.
The bird. Yeah.
But then, yeah, the guy comes back.
That was the second point I was talking about. The bird's only relevant during two plot points. Number one, the information about Kiko. Mm-hmm. Number two, stopping Yusuke from getting the flute when he could have gotten it earlier.
Pretty much. Yep.
So he heals, comes back, splits back to seven, and then Yusuke levels up on this man.
He really does.
Yeah, and it just destroys him. I don't even, like, it's... he just lights him to pieces.
Yeah, meanwhile, like, the other three guys are still just cutting down through crowds of people.
Yep.
Just crowds of these seaweed people, like, oh, we're coming, Yusuke, hang on.
I feel like they should have been through that shit a lot earlier. Like, I'm feeling... These guys are hollow.
I think that...
Plow through them.
I think the person who actually is the most powerful against them is the person that could have just went right through to, right to the top. It's Kurama. With his whip... You know what I'm saying? Just, like, whipping around himself, like, you know what I'm saying? And just, like, run straight through him.
Yeah.
That was, like, the first thing I thought. I thought he should just grab his whip, use it as a thing, and just went, boom, boom, and then, like a little whirlwind, and then got through all of them. They just went forward.
Yeah. I was even thinking, like, Kuwabara, we saw him, you know, human centipede those demon dogs earlier, like, extend that sword again, and, like, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy, Groot, like, you know, takes a bunch of people and, like, impales them and just slams them against the wall. It's like, all right, they're out of the way. Like, that's crowd control. Like, you know, just use some strategy with your weapons. That's all I'm saying.
Even more so, like, if he could just run on their heads, probably.
Yeah. They should have, you're right. They should have been through that shit way sooner.
At least one of them. Hiei should have been over there to shot right through him, like the Flash, and then been in there so he can help out.
Yeah.
But, yep, long story short, how did Yusuke win the fight again? What did he do at the end?
I think it's just like a super powered up
punch.
Punch,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's a blue fisted punch.
Yeah, I think he blasts a bunch of them again with another shotgun attack.
Yep.
Right? Because and is more accurate with the vitals or whatever.
Yeah.
Takes out, you know, six of them, but, you know, then he punches the last guy and he vaporizes both him and the bird.
Yeah.
And the flute.
Yep.
All in one punch.
Spirit bomb punch.
Pretty much.
Yeah, maybe this was the origins of One Punch Man.
Yeah.
This is where the idea for One Punch Man came from.
Pretty much.
Quickly we move on, and then we go to now to get their other mission, which is to save Hiei's sister.
Oh, no. You can't skip how they got the mission.
Oh, okay.
You can't skip how they got the mission.
Go ahead.
Like, Yusuke's running to school. Hiei just pops in front of him, gives him a literal VHS. Hilarious.
Yes.
Hilarious. And then he goes back. Who doesn't have a tape player, apparently. They go to Kuwabara's house to watch it. Mm-hmm. Kiko's there. I mean, she's not there. I'm sorry.
No, Botan's there, but doesn't Yusuke tell? Because Kiko at the end of this whole thing is just like, "Yo, Yusuke,
you gotta,
like,
let me know what's up.
You gotta tell. I wasn't mad that you left me at the theater. I'm mad that you just couldn't be honest with me.
Just like a girlfriend.
Wait, let's take a pause here. I'm gonna say, Keiko is one of the most down chicks of all time.
She trusts him.
At what age?
14.
14 years old.
She hasn't been burned yet.
She is so down to ride though. She's just like, yo, you go leave, do whatever you got to do. Just let me know you're going. It's fine. And not only that, every time she gets in trouble, like, she channeled his energy against, like, the guys, the bug head dudes.
Yeah.
You know, and she was fighting. Like, it wasn't like she wasn't just some damsel in distress.
No. But, you know, honestly, you know what kind of was is once she got to know Botan, it's just like, oh, she's not here for Yusuke. Yeah.
You're not a threat, so I can still,
like,
love him.
They get along. They're friends now. So she's just like, yeah, whatever. Exactly. Hang out with Botan. That's fine. Just let me know when you're going to be home.
Kiko is, I am a fan of not only that she's a strong feminine character.
Yeah.
Because she's just not the damsels. Like, villains have constantly tried to make her into a damsel.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I'll be the bait.
Yeah. Let's go. But even so, like, she's like, let me be the bait, but let's also whoop they ass. Like,
yeah.
She didn't just stand there and get beaten. Like, she, like, even when she was bait, she, like, the guys would come up on her, she was throwing hands.
Yeah,
like,
she was. She had a little spirit slap in there. Remember?
She was throwing hands.
Yeah. She's going in.
She is. So that's what I'll say is I just want to give my hat off to the writers about her because she is dope.
Even Botan, like, she was, like, whooping people with that bat before they got into the school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, they got in the school and she lost all her abilities for some reason.
She did.
Like, she's a spirit detective assistant. She's the one who had, like,
she's got some kind of powers.
Yeah, she's a Shinigami. And she's like, she gets in there and she's like, all I have now are these physical abilities, just like you, Kiko.
Maybe she's just trying to downplay it because she's just like, Kiko can't know what's really going on.
And yeah.
Nah, man, this is her life.
Like, yeah, you're right. I don't know.
That's stupid.
I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. But so anyway, Hiei shows up and gives him the VHS tape and is like, you know, I don't know what this is about. Koenma told me to deliver this to you, and kind of like watches from a distance because he knows something's up. And then it turns out there's like...
I have one more recap. I'm so sorry. What's up? Another Kuwabara joke that cracked me up.
Uh-huh.
Is the next episode before we move into the next arc, Yusuke has to wake up. And he wakes up. And
oh,
Kuwabara is sitting there with Kurama. Right? It was Kurama?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
He's sitting there. And then Yusuke's like, oh, cool, I'm up. He's like, yep, everything's good. And I was like, oh, cool. So what's up with Kiko and Botan? Like, are they okay? And then, like, they did, like, I think they did a great job. Like, they were just like...
Great acting job.
Great acting job. They just did the look away of shame. It's like, you know, I didn't want to have to talk to you about this as well. You know, kind of thing. That's the look they gave.
Yeah.
And then Yusuke starts freaking out. And then they both walk in the room. Hey, what's up? You're awake. And he's like, what the hell? And then Kurama just dies laughing. I was like,
low.
Yo, this is my homie.
Low blow.
I'm feeling you, Kurama.
Kicked a man when he was down.
It was the best.
I didn't think Kurama would be down with something like that. That's not his type of Kuwabara that's all him. But like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm and Kurama was them. Just like, I told him we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
felt good, though, didn't it? Felt good.
So
please continue.
They get the VHS tape, and Yusuke's just like, yo, my mom, she broke our VCR or whatever. So, like, Kuwabara, can I come watch this at your house? He's like, yo, I don't want to be tied up in this spirit world stuff anymore. I'm out.
And Kuwabara, as soon as he pulled the tape, I was like, yo, is that a dirty tape?
Yeah. He's just so bad. So he wants to watch the porn.
But he's 14. He's going through puberty, I guess.
He's so funny.
And then basically what happens is that, you know, we got this tape that's like a full-on, like, studio production from Koenma. And it's all about this... this rich old man, you know, this Donald Trump-esque sort of character, you know, kidnaps this
he looks
young,
like Donald Trump too.
I know, just like some weird malformed, like, tumor-esque face or whatever.
To me, look like the human form of Dodoria from Dragon Ball Z. His head, which is jowling. Lumped up.
Yeah, he had those jowls.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah. I'd also like to point out that one thing that I found that was really funny, that while they were watching the tape, is that as soon as the tape came on, before they watched the tape, Kuwabara was like, I don't want nothing to do with this shit. I almost died last time. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. But then he sat and watched, and as soon as the tape comes on, what's his name? The little guy.
Is it Koenma?
Yeah, Koenma. Koenma shows up as a baby, and then he has the exact same, Kuwabara has the exact same reaction that Yusuke did the first time he saw him. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is this, little child? Like, ha ha ha, this is so funny. And they talk about it for a good solid 20, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Now, what's funny to me is that they're playing a tape, right?
Yeah.
Nobody presses pause. But if you pay attention while that's happening, literally Koenma's in the background just like waiting for them to finish. Like, he's just sitting there just like, for like 20, 30 seconds, he's like, I made this tape and then I have this long pause here.
Yeah. He must be used to it at this point. So
yeah.
He's just building that into his runtime.
I found that funny.
Yeah.
Random.
So when he picks back up on the pertinent information with the mission, he's just like, listen, this demon girl, she's this, you know, these sort of ice yokai that are out there. They have these tears that turn into these very valuable diamonds that are worth billions of yen.
Yep.
This old creepy rich ass man that's gotten his money through all sorts of shady ways has kidnapped one of these ice queens. And, you know, you basically need to go save her. What he doesn't include in that is that this specific ice yokai is actually the younger sister of Hiei.
Yeah.
Yep. Which Hiei knows, but we find out later that she doesn't know that they're related. Because I guess they've been, he's had to watch her from a distance for some reason. I don't know.
Actually would argue, I would say that it seems like her memories were altered or something.
That could be true too.
She went through some of the most severe torture possible to make all those tears, remember?
Yeah,
true.
She doesn't even flinch at physical pain anymore, remember?
Pretty much. So she's locked up in that tower, and that old man's been like trying to make her cry through all this like physical torture. She's not doing it. So he hires these two other yokai, these two brothers, and like their gang of yokai demons, and it's just like, oh, you guys are the experts in pain. Like, you got to make her cry. So they basically go up there. She's doing her Disney princess thing with the birds or whatever. Mm. And then one of the brothers grabs the birds with his like these long extended fingers and like crushes them, and that's the one thing that finally makes her cry.
Of course it is.
She makes these crystals, and the guy's like, ah, yes, I can make my billions, and now we'll, I'll continue to make my dirty money. And meanwhile, they're doing that. Yusuke and Kuwabara now in love with at first sight with the ice yokai. She's
I'm
like,
so
oh, I gotta save
that's
going to
be
girl.
So good later. I remember that Kuwabara being in love with Hiei's sister.
Yeah, and he pulls out like the headband and everything, like, you know, Kuwabara and the ice.
And they even have telepathy. Like, Kuwabara has a new power because of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Yeah. He can like
he can
melt minds.
Yeah.
With her.
So I found it really funny. They go. Mm-hmm. And there's 14 yokai that are sent out to kill them.
Right.
they dispose of them almost instantly.
Yeah, but also the old man is just like, oh, I got these guys coming in. I've hired this group of criminals. They're super strong. Maybe this is an opportunity to make even more money.
Yeah.
Let me open up my black market gambling circle. Yeah.
So I will say...
Greedy bastard.
Yep. Yeah, greedy bastard. That was actually my favorite part of this arc, is that the old man, they added a layer to it, because it could have easily just been like a story of us watching, you know, Yusuke and them get to the castle and fight the guys. But they're like, no, let's add a layer to this, add a level to it, where the guy's like, I'm going to make it into a bet.
Right.
It's like, who's going to win? These kids from wherever, or the yokai? So they beat the first 14. The old man makes a bunch of money, but there's one guy in the betting ring that always keeps betting on the kids, the Yusuke.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
he clearly knows something.
He knows something. That guy's going to come back.
He heard the rumor of them. He already knew who they were.
Yeah.
And so the first bet he wins. The second bet is against the four... Was it four?
No, it's the three.
Yeah, the three demons. And that
the
first
mini
demon,
bosses.
Yeah. Oh, the mini bosses. Holy shit, the first one was the chick.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm just saying.
There was some transphobia in there in this episode.
Early, this is in the 90s they're talking about.
True.
This. Yeah.
Bruh.
But the fact that Yusuke, first thing he does is go for the touch.
Yeah, he went for the breast first.
And then I guess, so he knows in there that it's not. And then, so that's why he's, Kuribara has some type of, like, you can't put your hands on a girl.
So I actually give this show a lot of credit from the beginning. They show it as a woman.
Right.
And, like, so I thought it was a woman. Everybody thought it was a woman. So, right. Dressed like a woman in a dress. Pretty, actually, for the show.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, cool. This is what it is. And before they fight, like, Kuribara's like, I'm not going to fight you. You're a girl. And then she even says, that's kind, but it's discrimination.
Yeah.
True. So I was just like, ooh, she woke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Back then.
She was woke. And then, like, they do the first move to attack each other. And that's when Yusuke gets a feel on her titty. And she feels violated. And then he also was just
And he's
like,
these are implants. I need to do a second check. And he gives her the little undercup.
He goes
speaking
for the
of
undercup.
Donald Trump,
he grabs her by the pussy. But then it was like, that's not a pussy.
But there's
something else.
So then
he proceeded to hilariously punch him in the chest like 8 times in a row.
Yep.
All to the chest.
Just trying to explode those silicone implants that, from the early 90s.
My outfit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Yusuke whoops that ass. Like, it wasn't even close. He
handles business. I mean, these guys just walked out of the forest after killing, 14 other Yoki with literally mines exploding behind them. They're not looking back at the explosion. They're doing the whole badass thing.
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
That was one of my favorite scenes in there when it came through and his spear, and they just walked up like, all right, who's next?
Yeah.
That was gangster.
That was
it
so
really
gangster.
Was.
So...
They ride in there, take care of business against the first horn. He gives her some sort of like speech of just like, man, you need to like finish up that sex change operation because like if you're gonna be a woman, you need to go all the way.
Sure.
All right,
gave her advice.
Okay,
dude. Even more hilarious before that happens, before they fight the woman,
right?
Let's not forget that the brothers. Remember, there's like the strong guy, then there's the guy that his brother that's on his shoulder.
Uh huh.
The betting guy, before he starts making the bets, the way that he thought he could make the bets is he takes him down into his dungeon and is like, yo, you got to show me, he's pretty much going to try to undercut him on his prices by saying like, look, this is a super powerful beast that eats lions and tigers live.
Right.
That's what it does. And it's a giant, scary looking thing. I wouldn't have gotten there. And so he was like, yo, either you can get in there and kill it or, we can renegotiate your rate.
Right.
And he pretty much takes off his jacket. And is like, I like animals, but whatever. You made me do this.
Fucking
and he's like, 30%. And then he just, like, his muscles get big up to 30%. And he literally rips it in two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
he just punched it in half.
He punched it and grabbed it and then ripped it in two, though.
Yeah.
So it was just like, ugh. Like, he destroyed the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, it was like a Broly moment. Like, I'm only going to give 30% or something like that, Buffs up a little bit and just.
And then apologizes. At least in the dub version, he apologizes and says, I didn't want to have to do that, but.
Oh, yeah, he does that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does that in the Japanese version, too. He's just like, I don't like killing animals, but, I got to get my money, so here we go.
I mean.
Blame your boss, basically.
So the other two.
Blame your master.
So the other two demon, the other two yokai.
Yeah, there was a ninja dude that I thought looked kind of cool, and I was like, maybe this guy will do something, but no, they handled him real quick.
Everybody's been getting served up within about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
In this whole thing.
Yeah, they knocked out two of those dudes almost before the commercial.
I don't even remember the third guy.
Yeah, I know. He was a big dude, but it doesn't even matter how they got rid of him because it was just
He got
like,
destroyed so quick. So then they get on to the final boss. Yep. So it's the final boss, two brothers. It ends up being the guy on the shoulder can turn into any weapon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he turns.
Which basically, you just do the sword and the shield.
Yeah, pretty much. Sword and shield. That's what he does.
And that sword looked gross. Like, I know I was talking about this to you guys earlier, but it looks like that's just some hair they pulled out of, like, the sink or something like that. You know? Like,
it was nasty not, looking. I love sword anime, and I love swords in general. Didn't like that sword.
Not aesthetically pleasing.
No.
No.
And I don't think he was that good with the sword, to be honest with you.
No.
He didn't. I mean, he hit the shit out of. Who got hit with it? Kuwabara,
yeah. He got hit. He got hit like over the shoulder a few times Kuwabara's like, I got this. You know, let me handle this one.
And I really want to say that this fight was amazing because it's like, if he kills that thing at 30%, then this is going to be like a Frieza thing.
Mm. Right.
You know, where it's just like, yo, we're going to see the progression of percentages. We're going to see a lot. This is going to be cool. Everybody's going to get pushed to their limit. Man.
Yup.
Man, again, just like, because they were like, oh, I guess we're in this season right now, in this episode. It's just like, it ended up being so simple. It's just like, they just used Yusuke to shoot Kuwabara in the back with a spear
full
gun.
Full speed, yep.
Full speed, which is weird, because normally every time the spear gun hits anyone else,
it's a knockout.
It explodes when it hits them. Yeah. But when it hit Kuwabara in the back, for some reason, it just became something that just gently pushed him forward, and then took the sword right through the guy, and then the fight's over. That's it.
Pretty much.
I think he can control that power. I think when he did it, he didn't put all the power into it to blast him in that type of way.
Okay, he set to stun or something.
I was actually thinking it was kind of like a spirit bomb thing. Because you know, in the spirit bomb, if you put it like somebody with pure heart, they can reflect it. Remember?
They can bounce it back or whatever.
They can bounce it back. So I feel like he was just bouncing out the front of it, kind of like this is spirit bomb, spirit
gun. I can see
gun.
That.
But I'm glad they actually gave, like, you know, I guess what you consider a second tier, you know, fighter in there the win. Over a big villain.
Yeah.
Like, in, you know, as like I said, my favorite anime, Dragon Ball, they don't do that. It always goes to Goku.
Yep.
So it doesn't make sense. Right. No, Gohan got Cell.
Well, Gohan got Cell. But that's really it. But other than that, it's like, I mean, and then Trunks got Frieza coming back, but that didn't really count. That was BS. But in this one, everybody's got W's. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's literally got their, like, you fight them one-on-one, you get your kill. You get your kill, you get your kill.
Vegeta got Topo.
And like 19, but
in 19, I mean, what was it? 18 won the whole thing, not Goku. Was it 18 or 19?
Seven.
No, I was talking about his 19. The big mime looking.
The one that sucked the power
one.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about crucial wins.
I get it.
I hear you.
That was them trying to survive this.
I'll say 17 won the whole tournament, but that's it. Okay, either way.
Yeah.
He killed him, but the thing that we and all were talking about, his brother is the sword, so he gets stuck through his chest. And the brother just stays as a sword.
Yeah, he plays dead. He just kind of lays there.
Well, he
waits
has
for everybody
to
forget
he's
about.
I think he's only a weapon. I don't think he can use himself and like run and then turn into a sword.
Like, he extended his fingers and caught those birds. Like, I feel like he'd be a person I wouldn't want to fight against.
Yeah, I was thinking like he could like try to grab people around the neck and like crush their windpipe or something. But he's definitely doesn't have the wherewithal. I think if he took a punch, he'd be done. Probably.
Yeah, I think clearly he.
Unless he hardened himself.
Yeah, he has no heart. That's what I think. That's clear. He's a hoe.
Yes, but it's also he's that shield that nothing can get through.
Yeah.
He's a shield nothing can get through and the sword that was fucking him up. So all I'm saying is that if he turned his arm into a sword and his arm into a shield, he might be tough.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. Doesn't matter. Nope.
So this old man is now broke because he lost every single bet, you know, or at least the ones that counted, because that one dude put the guy put his last bet for like $72 billion.
The gross domestic
trillion,
product.
Trillion, I think.
Yeah, trillion. He bet the gross domestic product of Japan, which it seems like he knew how much money the old man had.
Yeah, he did.
So he's like, this is exactly how much money you have if you liquefy all your assets. And the old man was like, whatever, I've seen what this guy can do. I'm going to bet on the guy, not the kids. Mm-hmm. And he lost.
Yep.
But he's like, whatever, I'm just going to take off with this Ice Queen. You guys can't get her, and I'm going to get out of here. But Hiei had been following in their shadow the whole time and makes the timeliest of entries and just starts. He just beats the dude almost to death.
Yeah,
just punching this dude in the mouth over and over
again.
Sister
had to stop him.
Yeah.
And
even she felt bad after being tortured by this guy. Mm-hmm. I was like,
that's enough.
Yeah. So he gets called off, which it turns out apparently if he had killed a human, that would have been some sort of unforgivable crime.
Right. Or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And Kurama was there but didn't need to step in, you know, because the little sister. But so Hiei doesn't reveal that they're related, and kind of whether that's a memory-altering thing or, you know, whether he just was never a part of her life, we don't know at this point. But she goes down, and she and Kuwabara have their moment. You know, their little, like, moment where they were like, oh, you were the one that was speaking to me psychically. Like, oh, right. I came for you.
He's like, yo, about this dick, though.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, I don't know, that's pretty much it for that episode and for the season. They kind of were just like, That's that. We'll see him next time, pretty much. Yeah.
On that note, Keenan, what are your thoughts on the season one?
I'm glad you asked me, Brendan.
There we go.
Yeah, appreciate it. Season one was actually, it was amazing. I didn't think I was going to like it this much. As soon as it got from probably about episode 13 and on, yeah. I loved it. My favorite character right now is Hiei. Mm-hmm. As much as I love Yusuke, I think Yusuke is dope, but I think Hiei is my favorite because I think, like you said, he hasn't been battle tested. He's a beast. And right now, like I said, I like cool, calm kind of characters like that.
Yeah.
So season one has been, it's been super dope.
But yeah.
About
versus,
you, Rob?
Versus your expectation, though, because it's like we're about to watch this old anime.
Yeah, my expectation was like, yeah, it was old. But like I said, I ended up watching the dub version and remastered. So I know for me, I know Brennan had an issue. Was like, man, you're not watching it correctly. I was like, I understand that. But watching it remastered and dubbed, I thought it was like, it even made it better to me.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, if you think about where the show starts in episode one and where it ends by episode 25, it's just like, oh my God, these are almost two different TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, like wildly different. But I really enjoyed a lot of it. They waste no time. There's no filler episodes. It's always on to the next thing and on to the next fight. And they don't, you know, waste any time with the fights. It's action packed. It's pretty funny. You know, Kuwabara is great.
Kuwabara is so funny.
I think Kuwabara might be my favorite character just because he's always entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good show. I enjoy it. It's a fun one.
Brandon?
All right. So, yeah, I really like it too. I mean, this is like, if somebody is like, I really want to start digging into anime and understanding what anime is and what like the roots, like the foundational anime that make it, it's like there's a couple shows you have to give them to watch, and I would definitely give this as one of them.
Yeah.
It's like you can watch this, and it gives you a lot of how it almost, it's a really good like measuring bar to like throw everything else against. It's like if it's not this good, it's probably not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is really good, objectively, and it stands up. That's the other thing that's crazy. Like anime isn't something to me that's timely.
Right.
Whereas like that's what I love about it is that the storytelling and what it is something that you can watch at any given time ever. And it'll still be good if it ever was good. You know, it's like, it's not just like, you know, because sometimes it's like music. Some people be like, oh, this music was really good. Pop music, this pop music from this era was good during that era. But now you listen to it, you don't like it. But for me, it's like anime is like, if it's good at any era, then it's good at all, at any era. You know what I'm saying?
It translates, yeah.
It translates.
Yeah.
So for this one in particular, I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a throwback. I did remember, I had already seen it, but it was, you know, a long time ago. And watching it again, I remember why I love the show so much, and I also started to remember the small parts. Mm-hmm. Like the thing that I remember most vividly was actually Yusuke putting his shoes on his hands. that was the part that I was like, I definitely remember this.
Yeah.
And like, I definitely remembered everybody's powers, and there's things that I remember that haven't happened yet. Yeah. That's how I know I saw the whole thing.
Right.
But my favorite character is Hiei, for sure. But it's actually because of what I remember, not because of what's happened thus far. Mm. It's because there's, you know, as this show does a really good job of setting up the characters, it also does a really good job of giving a lot of room for growth. So we know Hiei has the bandana over his third eye.
Yeah.
What does that third eye mean? You know, it's like all these kind of things. It's like there's a lot more growth.
Yeah, that's true. We saw, didn't we get like a little glimpse of, where he, he was like, he wasn't born with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, he hasn't used it his whole time since.
Right.
And he got it implanted. Why did he get it implanted? Like, they just gave us a little glimpse of it.
Yeah.
All I'll say is that, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. It's coming. Like, when Hiei gets put his back against the wall, you don't want to put Hiei's back against the wall, is all I'll say.
Right.
Okay.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, man. I want to extend some questions out to the fans. What did you guys think of season one? You know, season one of Yu Yu Hakusho. Also,
are we going to do season two?
Not directly right afterwards. We're going to go into what we talked about doing Samurai Champloo as for the next go around.
Yeah, I think eventually, though, we should come back and do season
two. Oh, we're going to definitely come back and do season two. That's guaranteed.
Yeah, I'd like to see more.
So that's one question. What did you guys think of season one for the fans? Also, too, what will be your spirit move? If you can make your own spirit move, what will be your own spirit move? Okay, Brendan. Brendan's pointing to his lower region. I don't know why. But that'll be his special move.
I
would have a spirit gun. I just wouldn't use my hands.
So you'll be the belly dude from My Hero Academia.
I didn't
that's who you'll be, pretty much.
I didn't point in my belly.
Well, you pointed in that particular region.
More often than not, it's shooting down.
Yeah. You know? So thank you guys for tuning in, man. Drop your stuff, your information. Go ahead, Brendan.
At Mr. Producer Face on Instagram. That's pretty much the best way to get at me.
Yeah,
Robbie Rob.
RV Danger 44 on Twitter and RV Danger on Instagram.
and myself as at Keenan Baker on Instagram and Twitter on everything. And thank you guys again for listening to another episode of Hanimation. We love you guys.
Deuce.
And so anime was solved forever.